scripture too. Psalms 103. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you tonight. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for Calvary. I thank you for dying for us and shedding your blood for our sins. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for loving us. Lord God, and having grace on us and mercy on us, Lord, we're so grateful for that. I thank you, Lord, for your word tonight and what it means to us. And each and every person that makes up this congregation here at Liberty, I pray you'd bless each one, each family. I pray you'd help them, Lord God, in this life. We love you and we ask you for help in the scriptures tonight. I pray the good Holy Ghost would set me aside, hide me behind the cross, please. And Lord, I pray, Jesus God, that you would explain your scriptures to your people in their heart. And we love you and we thank you and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Alrighty. Psalms 103 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless His holy name." Now, I believe David, I've read commentaries on this in the past, and I believe that David was in his latter years. And I believe David, when he wrote this, he was in full experience. He knew the ins and outs of God's grace. And he knew the ins and outs of God's mercy. And if we look back on David's life, you know, if David wrote this when he was an older fella, you know, if we had to title this chapter here, I believe David would say, "God's been good." And you know what is, the older you get, and me and Miss Amy was talking about this not too long ago, you know, me and her's been through a trial, I guess, for the last 5-6 years, right in the middle of it. But then we got to thinking about all the good times. You know, and all the good times outweighs the bad times. And you know, as David, if we look back on David's life, you know, if we say King David, that rings a bell in everybody's heart. As we look at King David, we think, well, yeah, that's the greatest king that Israel's ever had. We think of him in his pomp and his majesty. But if we had to look back on David's beginning there in 1 Samuel, what is it, chapter 16, where David come on the scenes. He was ostracized by his father and sent on the backside of the desert because he didn't fit in. He just wouldn't accept it. He was small. He was ruddy, of a fair countenance. He was somebody that was not his father's pick. He was somebody that his father was not proud of. We know that by Scripture. And if we look back on that time, if we look back when he killed Goliath, and if we saw Saul coming and throwing javelins and trying to kill him when David was trying to do right, the devil was trying to kill him. And we looked at that, and we go on, and we see the flight of David all through 1 Samuel, and we step into 2 Samuel, and we see that Amnon, we see all his daughter Tamar, he saw that she was raped by his son, and then Absalom killed Amnon, and on, and we could go, and Absalom rose up in rebellion against him, and we see all kind. David did not have a fairy tale life. And just like many of us inside the room tonight, we don't have a fairy tale life. Amen. We don't have a Hallmark marriage. We don't have a Hallmark story to give out to everybody. The fact of the matter is that there's a lot of people in here, I believe, and probably a lot of people that go to a lot of churches that have a lot of more baggage and a lot of more skeletons in the closet than we really realize. But I just want to say tonight that I'm glad had, even the skeletons in my closet, amen, and the baggage that I've got, that I've got a God that's bigger than the skeletons, and I've got a God that's greater than the baggage, and He's great, and I believe if we ask David, what would you have to say in your latter years about this God? David, you've been through the fire, and you've faced troubles, and you've faced struggles in your life. You've been to the graveyard of your children. You've seen your baby die. Oh, David, what would you have to say? I believe you would say, I bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me bless His holy name. I think David would say, through it all, God's been good. Through it all, God's been good. And God deserves to be praised. He deserves to be praised. You know, the greatest psalm that we could ever read, I guess. There's so many of them. I love 103. I love 139. But one of the greatest and one of the best psalms is 150. And it's simple. A praise ye the Lord. And then he ends it up saying, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. What he's saying there, that every creature, everything that breathes the air that's in this room, I don't care what it is, he's not specifically talking to you. He's saying that God deserves and is worthy to be praised. And listen, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about a God in heaven who is worthy to be exalted and called the dear, precious Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. And I worship Him and praise Him tonight. He's worthy. He's worthy. Let everything that hath breath praise you the Lord. Isn't that something? You know, that means Adolf Hitler. Amen? Isn't that something? That even means Joe Biden. That means the vilest of the vile. That means everybody. That means from the best preacher in the United States of America or across the globe, that goes from Charles Haddon Spurgeon to the lowest gutter sinner that ever was. Listen, there's a God in heaven that sits high upon the throne and He deserves to be praised. So David calls to attention. I'm going to get to my message here in just a second. But bless the Lord, he says, oh my soul. And he looks at himself. I was reading in one commentary, and he looks at himself. And it's sort of an inward rebuke that he gives himself. He says, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Maybe David looks down on the inside of himself, and he sees that his soul is not worshiping and blessing and praising the Lord like it should. And it's an inward rebuke. I wonder if we can look on the inside of ourselves tonight and look at the uttermost depths of our soul. And can we say tonight that our soul is worshiping and blessing the Lord with all of its might? And then there's a call. There, notice what he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Just like David, no doubt, had many instruments probably in the palace in his latter years. And as those, this piano right here, this organ, I don't know about that, but this piano has to be tuned occasionally. And they'll call a tuner in. And David had all the instruments and they would be tuned. And as that orchestrator, he would come up and he'd tap that little thing on his gavel there. And everybody would stand to attention. That's what he's saying. He's saying, all that's within me, stand to attention. All that's within me, give me your utmost attention. We're about to praise the Lord. And that's how it ought to be. He's worthy. Not a part of our attention. Not a part, but a whole. He's worthy of every second. He's worthy of every moment and every attribute of our being. He says, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forgetting all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Listen, I can't go. I'm trying not to chase rabbits, but this right here is just rabbit happy, ain't it? All right, listen now. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? I'm going to try to read the text. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Watch this. Slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Ain't that something? Slow to anger. When the Lord begins to get mad at you, I got home today and we got two puppies. And there's one of them little puppies got out there. And they left some screws out there. We had some metal delivered today, and they got them screws in them little old bags. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We finna put up a metal building, and guess what the dog's done? I believe they swallowed the bags. Yeah, because the screws was everywhere on the ground. I didn't see no bags. Looked like somebody just poured them out. I wonder if they didn't just pour them out there. But you know what? I got ill. And I didn't wait about it. I got ill right then and right there, and I took action. But listen to me, ain't you glad when you get all the screws and you tear everything up and you scatter it all over the yard that you got a God that's slow to anger? Oh, good. Ain't you glad? Oh, listen to me, I'm glad that God is slow to anger with me. I believe I had to run that. He is slow to anger. He said in verse number 9, He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us. Boy, this is a good verse. He hath not, we may just read the scripture here. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Let's read that again. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Hold up a minute. I'm reading that and you're reading that. Why has He not dealt with me on the account of my sins? Anybody want to answer that? Because He dealt with His Son on my account. Man. He took His judgment out for my sins on His Son. So here I stand, guilty, wicked as the day is long, and He ain't dealt with me because He dealt with His Son. Oh, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Ain't that something? Isaiah 53, all in verse number 10. Nor rewarded us. That reward there is a dreadful reward according to our iniquities. Verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgression from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. For He remembereth that we are but dust. And I just want to preach just for a minute on God's been good. And I won't be long. First of all, I think we ought to really highlight the fact that He forgives our sins. You hear what I said tonight? He forgives our sins. We ain't got to go to hell now. But you know what? Sin, I've learned in my life, and I'll be the first to admit, I sin, and I mess up. I fall flat on my face, it seems like twice as much as the next man. But I'm glad that there's a God in heaven that forgives me. And I'm glad that He loves me. And you know what? He is a faithful forgiver. He cleanses the dirty. You know what sin will do to you? It'll leave you feeling dirty. It'll leave you, there's no feeling. Now, you know what I'm saying. If you're saved, now, if you're lost, you can get by with it. I'm not asking you if you don't sin, but I'm asking you, if you do sin, this is how you ought to feel. When you sin, it ought to make you feel filthy. It ought to literally make you feel like you got tar rubbed from your head, the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, the sole of yourself. You ought to feel as nasty can be. But we've got a God that forgives us and cleans us up. He washes us. Has anybody in here ever experienced going out and getting yourself just pure teeth filthy and sin and feel like a dog all day long and then get in your altar and cry out to a holy God and Him lift it off of you and forgive you? Boy, there's nothing like it. What a Savior. He cleanses from the dirtiness. But notice there in verse number 3 also at the end of it, He said, who healeth all thy diseases. Sin will not only leave you dirty, but it'll leave you all diseased up. Sin will mark you. Sin will burn you. It'll brand you. It'll take you. Listen to me. I'm telling you that sin will put a mark on you that you'll carry the rest of your days. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven that can heal it. I'm glad that He can heal us. And boy, you know what a lot of people need is not just a cleaning up, but we need a cleansing and a forgiveness, and we also need a healing from that disease. A healing. But He cures the diseases. But I notice also, what's this, verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Not only does He cleanse from the dirtiness, He cures the disease, but He changes our direction. He is the Goel. He is the kinsman redeemer. And that redemption means that He is buying it back. We sold ourselves into bondage, but He has bought us back to Himself. He has purchased us, and He has redeemed us from the life of destruction. You and me especially, was hell-bent on a life of destruction and throwing it all away. But God, somehow or another, come in and intervened and redeemed us and bought us out of that destructive life. You know what you and I would do if we were left to our own self? And this is a fact. I don't care how good you think you are. If you're left to your own self, you're just as much flesh as I am. This one is just as much flesh as that one is. You'll self-destruct. You'll destroy yourself. You'll burn your own body. That's why the good Holy Ghost comes inside of us to try to detour us. And if we get in sin, according to 1 John chapter number 2, we have an advocate with the Father. I'm glad that He is there to clean us. I'm glad that He forgives us of all we've done. He forgives our sins, but I think it's worthy of being mentioned. If David would say, He feeds my soul. Now, there's 5 who's here referencing Christ. Verse number 3 through verse number 5, we see who forgiveth, who healeth, who redeemeth, who crowneth, and who satisfieth. But verse number 5 says, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Who satisfies? He feeds our soul. Me and Brother Vince was talking about before church started there, how that it's just, we listen to Brother Tom Gillum, we listen to him sometime preach, and Brother Mike Bagwell, I remember his name then, brother. And you know, it feeds you. I made the statement, you know, you listen to them men right there, and you're going to leave chewing on something. And you know what? That's not them men. They're great men, and I honor them. You know, I give honor where honor is due. But the fact of the matter is, it's the God inside of them. And it's this book here. Amen. This book is what it's all about. And the God that's inside of them. And what a blessing it is that He feeds our soul. He feeds us when we're hungry. You know, it's a food that endures. You eat supper tonight, and you're going to have to eat again in the morning. You eat in the morning, you're going to have to eat again at lunch. You're going to eat again tomorrow night for supper. And it's a constant on and on and on. But you know what? This Psalms 103 here, it's an old message that I preached years ago. I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years ago. I preached it down in in Lake City, Florida, last time I preached it, when I looked at my notes. And you know what? It was fresh then. But when I opened it up to look at it, when I got the call to preach tonight, I opened at it and looked, it was fresh. And you know, whenever it was fresh, there was somebody that preached it 100 years ago and it was fresh to them then. And 500 years before that, somebody read it and it was fresh then. And 1,000 years before that, and when David penned it down, it was fresh and it's still fresh today. Ain't that a blessing? It feeds my soul. It satisfies. Some things just satisfy. Satisfy. It's a food that endures. It's a food that's enjoyable. It's good things. It's enjoyable. I don't want nothing, really, that I don't enjoy. That's our tendency. That's our nature. That's why you go out and buy stuff that you like. You know, if you don't like purple, you're not going to go buy a purple shirt. If you don't like green, you're not going to go buy green. Right? You're going to buy the red like you love. You're going to buy the blue that you like. You're going to buy the white one that you like. Amen? And listen, why? Because it's good to you. Amen? And I'm telling you tonight, that's your fleshly things and the spiritual things. There's some things that your spirit needs and your soul needs and you ought to feed it good stuff. I'd hate to know I had to go. I'm telling you like it is. I'd hate to know I had to go somewhere where it was deader than 4 a.m. and some clown got up and read out of a comic book. I'm just telling you like it is. And you know, I'd hate to know I had to go somewhere where it wasn't worth 29 cents. I'd rather be somewhere else. I'd rather be at a hog killing or something other. Besides at a dead, dried up church where they're putting on a crazy performance. That's eating. I don't know what that's at. Hominy or something. That ain't worth a flip. Give me some collard greens and some pintos, some homemade, real mashed potatoes, not them box taters. Yeah, man. And some of that brown gravy on top. Slice of cornbread with some butter in it. Maybe a sliced onion. Can I get a witness? Is that all right? Yeah, man. That's what we get here at this church. Thank God for the Word of God being preached, and you better soak it up. Hey, get you a pen and a pad. When a man of God gets up and preaches, and he's preaching the book, take some notes, chew on it. That's what it's for. It's not for entertainment. It's for feeding your soul. Plain and simple. He satisfies. It's endurable. It's enjoyable. But it's effective. It's effective. It's effective. You see that? So that thy youth is what? Renewed. Like the eagles. You know what? Thy youth is renewed. Referring to something good. Your youth is energetic. It's strong. It's all kind of happiness you think. And he said, so that your youth is your what does it say there? He says, so that thy youth is renewed. It's brought forth like the eagles. You know what? This food, this fresh food, this manna from this King James Bible right here, from a preacher that preached. You know what it is? It strengthens you. It brings your energy back. You want to know why most Christians today are falling out? You want to know why the book of Jude is taking place today? Why that the day of apostasy is here and people are falling away from the faith? Why would you fall away? Because you're faint. And why are you faint? Because you're weak. And why are people weak? It's because they're not eating properly. It's diet. And the problem with that is, the reason people are not eating properly is either there's not enough food on the table, or they're not eating at the right table. And that's a fact. It would surprise you. I'm almost done. It would surprise you how many people, you know, go to church, and I'll go this Sunday, or at church right now while we're in here, And they're there just because it's the right thing to do. And they are saved, born again people, really meaning to do the right thing and wanting to do the right thing. But there just ain't nothing there to eat. They want something. May not know it, but they want something. They're hungry. I've preached in them places. I've watched them sop it up. I've seen God move in these places. I've seen it. I know it's a fact. I see people hungry. Listen, Liberty, I'm going to tell you, I was thinking about Brother Ken as they was talking about him in the prayer room in there. Listen to me, you better appreciate him. If he ever lets me preach on Sunday, I'm probably going to scold some folks. They need to take care of Brother Ken. You hear me? He's a great man of God. Now, he's not God, but he is a man of God for the hour. And they're few and far between. And we better appreciate him and take care of him and Mr. Renee. Because I'm going to tell you what, hell is real and the demons of hell are real. And you better believe that they battle a preacher. And I could preach another hour and a half on that. But I promise you, it's beyond your imagination. There's no way I could describe it. Pray, please pray for your preacher that feeds you, this food that nourishes you and gets you down the road. Please pray for him. He's a father that sympathizes. Lastly, he is a father that sympathizes. He's a father that sympathizes. Watch your Bible. Verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children. So the Lord pitieth them that fear him. You know what? That pity there, that pity is, as most of us in here got kids or whatever, you know. I look at Chloe and Lily, and I remember them. They're grown now pretty much. And I can look back on their youth as I've tried to train them, and Amy's tried to train them. I've watched her. And she's taught them how to cook and what have you. Some of you fellows has taught young men. And you know, as they, them young boys try to drive a nail and they hold that hammer up high or whatever for the first time, you know what? You don't bless them out for that. That little boy gets that hammer and he's holding it like a sissy. You don't bless them out, right? You teach them. You teach them. You know, when that little boy or that little girl, I remember Chloe and Lily. I remember them going out and doing something totally ignorant and getting hurt. But you know what? You don't go out and beat them up for that. You don't knock them back down in it. But quite the opposite. You pick them up. And if I know how to do that, and if you know how to do that, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. My goodness. I got this out of a commentary. He pities our childish ignorance. Boy, I tell you. Truth is, the best way to describe us a lot of times is nothing but childish. And I have childish ignorance a lot. Purity ignorance. No excuse for it. He pities our childish weakness. You know, kids can't do everything that adults can do. They just ain't strong enough. Don't have the experience. He pities our childish weakness. He pities our childish foolishness. You ever seen a child that's just foolish a lot? Have you ever been foolish? He pities that. He pities our childish naughtiness. He pities our childish stumbles and our falls. Pity is the pain of children. Kids can't take the pain that adults can take, can they? Skin them knees. How many times have you seen a kid go out there and skin the knees, knock a little bit of hide off, and you think the world's coming to an end? Anybody ever? Let me ask you this. Have you ever skinned your knees and thought it was bad? And thought the world was going to end. But it wasn't. Because Daddy knew it's going to be all right. He pities. Pities the child when another's wrong. What a loving God we got. And I wonder if David could look back in his life. Say, David, if you look back through all that you went through, the ups and the downs, the graveyards, the battles, the times when Saul stabbed you right in the back. David, what do you say? He'd say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that's within me, bless His holy name. And you know what? I say this. I know there's certain people in here that's went through some things that's, I don't know, I don't have the answers. Some's been to graveyards prematurely, and some's faced sickness that, why? You know, I can't help it, I'm flesh. I want to know, you know, why is this? Why certain people have to just keep climbing the mountain? Seems like there's never, but you know, there's a God in heaven that knows. And when it's all said and done, when you get to your end, when you get to the final closing chapter of your book, I believe every saved man and woman on their deathbed will say, God's been good. Ain't He good to His church? Where could you be tonight? Father, thank You for grace and mercy. I thank You for loving me and putting up with me. I thank You for saving me. Thank You for my family. Thank You for my wife, my children. Thank You for my parents. I thank You for my pastor. Thank You for this place, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that You'd bless this place and hedge it in. Lord God, like, Lord, You've hedged in Job. I pray You'd hedge us, God. We need You. We love You and ask You to bless Brother Ken on his travels home. In Jesus' name.